Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin, your source for real estate investment jewels of wisdom.
Welcome to the REI Diamond Show. It is once again time for the monthly market update for the current month of November 2016. I'm here now with our resident expert and economist and wealth advisor, Paul Sloat, the founder of Green Drake Advisors based in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Every month, Paul joins us here on the show and fills us in on the economic forces at work in the national and global economy and what those forces are expected to do to the local real estate investment markets in the short and long term. Since I know you are ready to hear Paul talk about the most recent current event, the election, the upset surprise election here, and what that will do to the economic conditions in the near term and the long term, we might as well get right into the monthly market update. All right. Welcome back to the show, Paul. Just so the listeners get an idea of a context of our time, we're recording this on November 10th, so it's just a few days after the election, which I anticipate will probably be mentioned in today's monthly market report. So, Paul, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to you and let you take it away.
All right, Dan. Well, we've had a very interesting week, I would say, with the election of Donald Trump as the president-elect for the United States. It's not the outcome that any of the media or pollsters were expecting. There was actually one poll that's been accurate for every election for the last 8 elections, and that poll actually predicted that Donald Trump was going to be elected. However, that somehow did not make the front page of the newspaper along the way. So we're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump in a few minutes, but we're going to talk a little bit more about the trends that have led to his election and sort of what his agenda will be, and then maybe how that might come back to impact the real estate market. So why don't we start with the simple reason, why did all these people vote for Donald Trump? And I think they voted for Donald Trump basically because they were looking at the money in their pocket. And at the end of the day, I think it was a vote about what was going on with people's income, the expenses they've been forced to bear because of the health care program, and the statements by the candidate for the Democratic Party that their goal was to ultimately create a one-payer system, and that would be the only choice Americans would have. So I think that it was really the issue of pocketbook and choice, and coupled with that most Americans thought, whether they were Democrat or Republican, that the country was on the wrong track. When two-thirds of the country think we're on the wrong track, that is a recipe for change. And change is what we're going to get with Mr. Trump. And this is a reflection of the populism where people's living standards today are back to where they were 20 years ago. And people don't like that and want to change. So let's talk about Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump has, for those of you who want to go to his website, something called his contract with the American voter. And in it, he basically lays out his plan for the United States and what he plans to do in the first 100 days. And one of the things, the first area he talks about is cleaning up corruption and special interest collusion in Washington, D.C. And basically, he's a proponent of term limits, which I think are about a non-starter because it's highly unlikely Congress will enact that. He also talked about a potential hiring freeze on federal employees. He talked about reducing federal regulation, that for every new regulation, 2 regulations need to be taken off the books. If you look at the regulatory burden that has increased and how it has increased over the past 8 years, under the current administration, it has created a number of problems for smaller businesses, which are the job engine of the American economy and their ability to grow. And in addition, it's created an inability to create new financial institutions, which are typically the source of funding for new enterprises. So that's another thing. Then he wants a ban on lobbying by former White House and congressional officials, et cetera, et cetera. His second major area is actions to protect American workers. I think the issue of trade resonated heavily with the American public. I think the American public believes that America has been unfairly taken advantage by foreign countries and has put American workers out of jobs. In addition, they believe that big corporations, in order to pursue profits, have taken factories that were still profitable in the United States and moved them overseas to increase their profit. We would say that both of those contentions by the American public are actually based in fact, and the facts would support both those contentions. So what does Mr. Trump want to do? One is to renegotiate NAFTA so that factories don't get moved across the Mexican border. Second is throwing out the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We have reviewed this piece of legislation that Congress was not going to pass because of the anger of the American public, and which Mr. Obama was going to try and have passed, he talked about during the lame duck session of Congress. But with a Republican Congress coming in on both houses, it is highly unlikely that he'd be able to do that, as Donald Trump is one of his first acts would withdraw from the TPP, as it's known, as from an acronym standpoint. And by the way, having read portions of the TPP, it would have enshrined rules that would have hamstrung U.S. corporations but freed foreign developing world countries to do what they want. So it was a very one-sided deal, and it is not something the United States should really sign. There were zero benefits for the U.S. and many benefits for overseas countries. Mr. Trump plans to deal with China. China, in most Americans' minds, is the biggest threat to the country. They are threatening us militarily in the Pacific. They are threatening us in terms of our place in the world as leader of the free world and the largest economy in the world. And they are threatening our ability to support our country through our industrial base. So Mr. Trump has said that he would direct the Secretary of the Treasury to label China a currency manipulator. We don't know whether that will occur because of the political explosiveness of that, but we do think that he will be tougher on China and force China to rectify its trade surplus with the United States, maybe give them a number of years for that to effectively go to zero. In addition, he plans to look at all foreign trading abuses by other countries and act on those as well. And he would also encourage domestication of manufacturing as well as significant growth in particular areas of the economy. So those are his actions to protect American workers. I think that resonates well with the average American worker. In addition, he has another section he calls Five Actions to Restore Security and the Constitutional Rule of Law. Basically, he would cancel all federal funding to sanctuary cities. Those are cities that have openly agreed to host the illegal immigrants. He would suspend immigration for terror-prone areas, and several other actions to limit illegal immigration. Lastly, he would look at things like middle-class tax relief. He would end offshoring and the ability of large corporations to take U.S. factories, shut them, and relocate them overseas. He would look at infrastructure as his first major policy initiative. We think this is a big initiative. We think that both sides of the aisle can agree that we're not spending enough on infrastructure. And in fact, the data show that the per capita spending on infrastructure since President Obama entered office is down about 30% in real terms. We expect that to be undone under a Trump presidency and for Congress to support this heavily. In addition, both sides of the aisle agree on tax reform and had begun talking about that prior to the election. And we think there will be a deal on corporate tax reform that will encourage repatriation of the money that is parked overseas. And in exchange for this repatriation, corporations will increase investment in the U.S. So while it will encourage repatriation, there will be no free lunch. So we think those are sort of the major thrusts. We think that once those are acted upon, there will be some reform of the Affordable Care Act. We think that the massive increases in health care premiums under the Affordable Care Act of anywhere from 20% to over 50% sent shockwaves through the average middle-class family that's looking to have some form of affordable health care. And the health care under the ACA, which has $6,000 deductibles per annum, is anything but affordable for the average American family, which is earning between $55,000 and $60,000 per year. So we think this election of Donald Trump will change things. We think it will accelerate U.S. growth. We think that acceleration in growth will be good for the economy. It will lead to more hiring. I think there will be some streamlining of regulation, which will help economic growth. And we think he will encourage infrastructure investment, which will, number one, accelerate growth in the short term. Number two, he will encourage corporate investment in the U.S., which will help productivity growth in the long term. And both of those will accelerate U.S. economic growth in the long term. So we think those are good. And in addition, there will be some reform of the ACA to make it a workable deal for the average American family. We do not know if there will be total repeal, as the Republicans' leadership in Congress has said. We think that will be highly unlikely, but we do think there will be major reform here. So those are things to think about with Donald Trump and what's happened in the markets. You've had a short-term rally in the stock market, and you have had bond yields go up. And that is because the bond market is beginning to anticipate higher growth under President Trump, and it is also beginning to anticipate higher inflation. On the subject of inflation, we expect inflation to accelerate next year as the masking impact from the drop of commodities ends and the underlying true consumer inflation starts to show in the government statistics. So we would not be surprised if the CPI printed at 2.5% or more by the middle of 2017. We note that bond interest rates are still relatively low compared to the implied inflation coming in the future. And so we think investors and real estate investors should be aware of this because rates are going to creep up. I know we've talked about this before on the show, and now we think that the time is here when this is happening and will continue to happen. And as a result, cap rates are going to creep up and multiples on real estate properties are going to go down. And we have discussed that in the past, Dan, and I know that your audience has been waiting patiently, but we think that it is now that this is occurring. And we also think because of the populism and the reshoring and a number of other initiatives that the have seen the end to the secular bull market in interest rates, and now we're into a secular bear market. These changes only happen once every 25, 30 years, which means that over the next few economic cycles, we would expect rising rates each cycle. Well, that is another thing for your listeners to keep in mind, that rates are likely headed up over the long term. So let's talk about some developments that we see occurring. We continue to see some weakness in apartments in specific cities within the country. We are seeing specific weakness in hotels in certain cities within the country. And in addition, we have begun to see some weakness in office. This is a reflection of building having accelerated in the office arena at the same time as rents have ramped pretty significantly, at the same time as we have seen a hiring slowdown over the past year due to the end of QE and the slowdown in nominal GDP growth. So, for example, San Francisco rents have started to weaken. New York City rents, while they have not started to weaken yet, there is a tremendous amount of office capacity coming on over the next 12 months, and the expectation is that New York City office rents will weaken. Other areas such as Houston and areas of North Dakota, where the energy industry has a disproportionate impact, have already seen rents start to weaken. So we would say we would add office to the list of areas where we need to watch what is going on carefully, because fundamentals are beginning to deteriorate slightly. In addition, the latest senior loan officer survey came out from the Federal Reserve, and the senior loan officers continue to tighten their real estate lending standards at a rapid rate. We think this is because they've begun to have some problems in their portfolios and because they are looking at the tremendous amount of space that is coming on in a number of various segments of the real estate business. So that is something else for your listeners to pay attention and watch, because it may begin to impact their ability to get funding from their local lending institution. Lastly, when we look at what's gone on in the world, we do have a global economy that appears ready to accelerate. Europe continues to grow. Japan is putting stimulus in place. We have the U.S. is going to have an infrastructure slash stimulus type budget. We have Brazil, where the Brazilian Central Bank is lowering interest rates. We have the U.K., where the currency is down and the central bank and the government are stimulating the economy. And so we have multiple areas of the world where things are going to be getting better. In addition, we can look at Russia, and Russia is accelerating from a fundamental perspective as things are getting better there. Industrial production is growing and retail sales are turning. So when we look at the world is accelerating, and this should also accelerate the rise in interest rates around the globe. So as we look at things for our listeners, Dan, we see a continued positive economic environment, potential for faster growth, but also higher rates that are going to start impacting the value of real estate properties. And that's what I have for this month. What kind of questions do you have on what I covered this month, Dan?
Well, you covered something. One question I have written down here, a lot of great stuff. You had mentioned in Trump's contract with the American voter, I believe it was, that China would be labeled a currency manipulator. Do you think you could elaborate on what that means, or why he would be wanting to say that, or how that might work as a mechanism in the market?
Well, it's clear that China has artificially manipulated its currency. There is no question of that. Under classic economic theory, if a country is running a very large trade deficit with another country, its currency should depreciate against that currency. However, if we look over the last year, despite the massive trade deficit that the U.S. is running with China, the U.S. currency has actually appreciated about 8%, which makes no sense, right? So what's happened with the U.S. currency lately is that it's done the opposite of what one would expect with a large trade deficit.
And then my final question is, for single-family rentals and the economy and job losses, are we still thinking that there's a recession looming, or is the, you know, the global economic—
Well, we still see a recession later this decade. We think that what will happen is global economy accelerates. You get stimulus from the federal government starting next year. By 2018, inflation will have heated up enough that the Fed will act, and you'll probably have a late 2018 or 2019 recession. But it's a little early to make that call, but that still seems the likely course of events. And the other thing that you have to realize is that certain cycles within the economy have already rolled over and won't reset until we have an economic recession.
Are there any time bombs you see on the horizon that we would want to keep an eye out for that could, you know, trigger a recession?
Well, I think if you had a, you know, wild card like a 9/11 type event, you could get a recession. But outside of something like that, we don't see anything that could cause that.
All right. Well, it sounds like good news, and we can continue operating business as usual for us single family and small multifamily residential real estate investors, which comprise a good chunk of our audience here. Paul, I got a ton of great information here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's a pleasure having you again, as always.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate being on the show.
And did you want to share some contact information? So if anybody would like to get in touch with you, they can figure out where to find you.
Yes. As you know, I can be reached at our offices here in Wayne at 610-687-7766, or people can go to the web and use our contact form, and we will follow up with them. And our URL is www.greendrakeadvisors.com.
All right. Thanks again, Paul.
Thanks, Dan.
And thank you for listening to the monthly market update for November 2016 of the REI Diamond Show. Are you interested in receiving email notifications of future episodes as they are published? You can sign up to receive them at www.reidiamonds.com, or you can subscribe through one of the podcasting apps, including iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Some of my favorite ways to listen to podcasts, including my own. Are you interested in either buying a deal directly from me or presenting one of your deals or listings for me to buy from you? Either way, you can submit deals you'd like to sell or check out the deals I have for sale in Chicago, Atlanta, New Jersey, Florida, and Philadelphia by going to www.reidiamonds.com and clicking the link at the top of the page. Finally, if you have certain questions or topics you'd like me to cover on a future episode, or if you have a guest suggestion, someone you'd like me to invite on the show, contact me directly by clicking on the Contact Dan link at the top of the page at www.reidiamonds.com. Thanks again for being a loyal listener of the REI Diamond Show. Dan Breslin here. I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin. To receive email notifications of new weekly episodes, sign up at www.reidiamonds.com.